hello friends, it's Trevor, it's Avery, it's Pat, it's the Citywide Special. The Eagles offseason has begun. Free agent Zach Bond will return after signing a three-year deal. Saquon Barkley is also rewarded with a two-year extension. What other moves are on the way? Will the Birds be contenders to land Myles Garrett? Travis Konecny and Travis Sanheim take home the gold in the Four Nations Tournament. Since returning, the Flyers are 3-2. Matvei Mishkov is getting back into his early season form, collecting 9 points in his last 5 games. Are the playoffs still a possibility? Will Danny Briere make a move ahead of Friday's trade deadline? Joel Embiid is out for the season, putting the Sixers firmly in tank mode. Is this the end for the former MVP? Is there anything to look forward to with this team? Philly's spring training is underway. All signs point to Trey Turner taking over the leadoff spot. Who has impressed so far? What positions may be up for grabs? All that more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
Feeling pretty good. I feel like a little bear coming out of hibernation right now.
Yeah, man, the boys are back.
Couple weeks off. Well needed rest, I will say. Yeah. It was quite the run. Maybe not podcast wise, but you know, the Eagles fandom really we sucked every ounce of love and joy that we could out of that season, and I think our bodies were hurting. So it was good to get a little downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, much needed hiatus. I dare say we just got over the Super Bowl hangover. Yeah. That was a fun run that week of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, then just the joy and just the vibes in the city, just everything in the air was palpable. Then we capped it all off with the parade Friday. It's an epic week.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can't write that script up, so it was great, but good to be back. It's unfortunate. Although, it kind of makes sense. We're back on a rainy day for the pod. It's kind of back to our
roots.
Yeah,
it's kind of
tradition.
Back to bringing it back home.
But nice, you know, spring is upon us. Next week is looking beautiful. 70s in the forecast, yeah. Which is wild.
Yeah. But and we got daylight savings. We're jumping ahead on Sunday. We
get that's true. Yeah.
Hour of daylight.
Lose that hour of sleep, though.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's just going into Sunday.
So. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Unless
you got to go to church.
No, I just mind. I don't know. That hour of sleep, like, here's the deal, right? You feel good because the days are longer, but that hour of sleep, it takes so long to recover from it.
So
is this the time of year that your clocks are normal then after this week, after that weekend coming up?
Now that you live with Spruha, your clocks are probably right.
Oh, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had to deal with it. I don't have there aren't really a whole lot of clocks in our apartment. There's just like the oven, really.
It's only the oven and the microwave that we have to deal with, really.
Yeah,
I used to have one of those little sunlight alarm clock things. But I don't.
That's not this weekend.
Gave it away.
Right?
But
no, we spring forward this weekend.
That's this weekend.
Sunday, Sunday morning.
Damn.
At 2 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, for 1:59 it goes to 3.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, so this was always.
But we don't have anything to do at 2:30 because you're fucked.
No, dude, this is like,
oh my god, I'm already late.
I missed it.
This was always a trip when I used to work at bars. When I worked at the Barbary, and we would fall back.
Oh,
we would stay open for the extra hour. Oh, it was
ass,
dude.
That's brutal.
But then at T-Mom's, like when I started working at T-Mom's, we would fall back and people would be like, oh, can we stay? I'm like, no, you got to leave. Mm-hmm. It's like, I understand time went back, but like, I'm not getting paid for this extra hour if you stay. You got to go.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. We've talked about daylight savings probably last couple of years on this pod.
I think every
we
got to
abolish it, dude. We got to get rid of daylight savings.
We need our glorious leader to
we need Doge to take care of this shit. This is not efficient.
Yeah, not efficient.
You know, I do feel like that was one of the things that they said they were going to do, which I mean, probably be one of the few things that I support them doing is abolishing. Here's the deal. It's not abolishing daylight savings time. That's when the days are longer. It's abolishing standard time and making daylight savings time and new standard time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, all for it. If you're going to do anything right, Musk and Trump, please do that. That would be great.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, not to get all political here.
Oh, do you guys watch the Oscars?
No.
We put it on for like a bit, and then I saw Ben Stiller.
I had only seen one of the movies. So I was just like, come on, Conclave.
That's all we were.
That's the only one I saw.
We didn't see that though. We saw the Globalist.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Anora that won like 5 things.
I don't know. None of the movies that were up there really looked
exactly. Great. I didn't have much interest.
The Brutalist was really good, but like we didn't watch a Bob Dylan one. I didn't see
Bob Dylan. Yeah, that I had like zero interest in the Bob Dylan one. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't care. The Substance looks cool. I want to watch that.
Which was funny that she didn't win it, you know, the younger person won it, which is kind of the whole MO of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's it's kind of meta.
Yeah. I like that. Not for her. That sucks for her, you know, but whatever. No, I didn't watch the Oscars.
No, I forget what I did on Sunday. I couldn't tell you.
We cook.
It's weird having Sundays not having football.
I know. We cook a lot.
You don't
more.
Know what to do with your time.
We go to the market, cook some. Oh, we cook some cutlets. That was what we did.
Yeah, no, okay. Really good.
Yeah. Yo, what did I do? I think I made some homemade wings in the air fryer. They were good. Yeah, that's what I did.
Dry rub? Wet.
I did a dry rub first, put them in the air fryer, and then I took them out of the air fryer and like doused them in some buffalo sauce and put them back in for a few more minutes. Mm-hmm. It was good. And then I put some more buffalo sauce on once I took them out. They were very good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have big news this weekend, i.e. your hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Mug, Coffee, and Clay. Mm-hmm. So y'all may remember we had Hannah Galdeed on the pod.
I think the first one of the first
10 episodes, I feel like. When she shouted out Mug, Coffee, and Clay, well, it was finally opening weekend, first day of school, as we say. So if you're in the area, South Philly, 8th and Federal, find yourself strolling past, you know, and you think, damn, I could really go for some coffee. Check out Mug, Coffee, and Clay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Hannah and Lewis. Love y'all.
Yeah. So that was that's all I have for the weekend update and the last bit that's been going down. Nothing else has really been jumping out. We've been just kind of recuperating, laying low, you know, getting the body and mind right again after that crazy run. But yeah, we're back to business as usual for Philadelphia sports and every other
back
team.
Back to the terrible 76ers and the mediocre Flyers. Yeah, the Phillies are starting now. But
the marathon of MLB season, it's like, okay, it's, you know, March right now, and you're like, I got time to just slowly watch this. It's like watching paint dry. Don't get too excited. It'll dry eventually.
Yeah, spring training, unless you signed a big free agent or something, spring training is kind of boring. Like, I remember when they first signed Bryce Harper, that was, like, really cool to see his first at-bat in a Phillies uniform. But if there's no big acquisitions, it's kind of like going through the motions, you know.
Juan Soto blasted. I did watch his first game though as a Met, and that was scary. First at bat, just moonball.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's gonna suck. Oh, well, I'm not gonna lie. That's gonna be
his numbers against artists. The Phillies haven't been great the last few years, though.
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's still gonna
be a great player. Don't get that twisted. But
I just think they're one of those teams that's in our head. They're in my head. It's Tito.
Oh, Tito from the tailgate?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, do we want to just jump into the Phillies? We haven't gotten to talk about them in a long
time,
dude. Let's hit it.
We have not talked about
the
Phillies in a long time.
Yeah.
I actually did have the game on. Today was the first time I actually put the game on while I was working, and of course we got shellacked.
The final score was 17-7.
Damn. Yeah, Lizardo gives up a grand slam and then gives up two more home runs after that.
He had been looking good so far.
Honestly, that's hard to do.
I mean, well, here's the golden rule of spring training, especially when it comes to pitchers. If they're doing well, then you get excited. There's, you know, Cy Young contender. If they're doing shitty, then, well, look, they're just working on some shit. Spring training. Yeah. Don't take anything away from it. So, bad outing today. Probably just, working out some pitches.
Some was in his eye, probably. Couldn't really see what he knows.
Yeah, also, Wheeler got roughed up yesterday, too.
Yeah,
yeah. They're just knocking the rust off. Also, to give up a grand slam and then two more home runs, that's honestly impressive to do.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to do if you tried.
Yeah.
Even when they have, like, a position player come into play, like, and they're just throwing lobs up there, you're probably not going to give up three home runs in a row.
With one of them being a grand slam.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
the last time anyone's done that.
That's all
a regular season game, the manager pulls a guy before it gets to that point, usually.
Yeah, maybe. Unless it was like, I remember that just for some reason reminded me of years ago when Ryan Sandberg was still our manager and they had Jeff Francoeur out there throwing like 50 pitches.
Dude,
and Chase Utley got pissed.
Yo, that was the game the bullpen phone didn't work either. Do you remember this? It was in Baltimore. The bullpen phone stopped working. So they're trying to signal to the bullpen to get someone up. And they're just waving a white towel. It's like they were literally like waving the white flag on that game. And I remember Chase Utley, you could read his lips. He was saying to Ryan Sandberg, this is bullshit. He should not be out here. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Ryan Sandberg, that was such an interesting period because I felt like it was, you know, that's always gone down as one of the all-time worst trades ever when the Phillies trade away Ryan Sandberg. And I feel
Larry Boa.
And I feel like it was kind of trying to you know, correct past wrongs to make him the manager. And it's like, no.
He was horrible.
Getting fucked again. It's like, this doesn't work either.
He was such a bad manager, too.
Yeah, he was awful.
It's like, I've always, like, this has been something that few people have said, and, like, I kind of buy into it, is usually, like, really great players in any sport don't make good coaches.
Yeah, I remember, like, Wayne Gretzky tried to be a coach, and he was not good at it. Like, that's why, like, catchers usually make the best managers, because they're, you know, good at, you know,
they have to
talking
handle
people off a ledge.
Yeah, and all that. They're dealing with the guy on the mound the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. They got to call the game, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you see that everywhere, right? I mean, it's a different transition to do. Usually, people that are like,
just, sorry.
No, no, you're good. I feel like it's usually like if you're that good, you're not really focusing on other shit. But like if you're bad, you got plenty of time to study other shit. So you're like, all right, well, I know how the rest of the game
figure
works.
Out, yeah, if you're not great, you have to like figure out how to be an effective player. Whereas if you're just naturally gifted, you're just like, well, why can't you fucking do that? So it doesn't work.
Just do what I do. It's like, that's not how it works. Yeah. I can't,
Yeah, Charlie Manuel played in fucking Japan.
Yeah. I mean, like, different sport, but look at Andy Reid. Like, yeah, he played in the NFL, but he wasn't some all-star stud offensive lineman. No. He barely had a career.
Even John Madden, same
way. Yeah. Yeah, but, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they're back. They're back down there in Clearwater, getting it going, getting started.
Yeah.
Nothing really super exciting. I mean, Harper taking a little hit to the arm. He's all right, but
hate to
see it. But it's kind of like, I mean, everyone's getting hit. That week, that first week, they were, I forget how many.
Yeah, pitchers are shaking off the cobwebs.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't excuse hitting him with a 97 mile per hour fastball on the tricep, but I mean, it's.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. Could have hit him on the elbow, could have hit him in the head.
Yeah.
Right? Or the knee. Yeah, that's more like the tricep.
Could have hit him right in his new Fanatic tattoo. Do you guys see that?
He got a Fanatic tattoo?
I'm not sure where exactly it is, but it's like I think it's like the Fanatic like riding the thing. It looks like shit.
I hope it's on his ass. Honest,
it's a really ugly tattoo, but
he's pandering. Hey, I'll support
Bryce Harper could do no wrong. Yeah, damn. I mean, yeah, if you're willing to take your pandering up to permanent body modification, like I gotta, you know, gotta hand it to him.
Next year he gets the Celtic cross on his calf.
Yeah, he's gonna. He's gonna have. My favorite thing that like dumb Irish Americans do is they get the they accidentally get the Ivory Coast flag tattooed on their leg because they get the colors backwards. That rules.
Oh, I can see.
I got family in the fucking Ivory Coast. That's why I got this tattoo.
I could see it. He'd be a guy that I could see doing that.
Yeah,
because he looks like a douchebag.
Respectfully, he probably is.
Respectfully,
have you seen all of his
TikToks
where he's doing little recipes and stuff? The raw milk.
Ugh.
That kind of concerned me. I was like, dude, Bryce, lay off the fucking raw. Yeah, don't get into this like, new age bullshit. You're gonna be
mad cow disease or
something. You're gonna be like you know, gonna be on the IL with fucking shitting his brains out because of fucking salmonella or whatever fucking shit. Just eat regular food, my man.
Stop being so
weird. Hopefully now that the season or we're in spring training, once the season starts, he stops doing that nonsense.
Yeah, he doesn't have as much time to show everyone his cold brew recipe.
Thank God, because that shit was ass. I saw some of those. Come on, man.
Who do you think is watching that thinking, I want to make this. Bryce made this. This looks good.
I'm sure there's people that tried to make them. I will say the cold brew thing he made looked fine. It was a ton of steps. I'm like, I'm not doing that shit.
The problem is, he's kind of awkward, though. He's not the best, like, social media personality. He's like very now I'm going to put milk in this. It's like, I don't know.
He's no Martha Stewart. He's no Ina Garten.
Yeah, he has swag, but he doesn't have Riz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when he's on the baseball field, he has swag, plays with attitude.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't have that off-field Riz.
He's not built for the kitchen.
He's a Mormon.
Never knows what anything is.
Not making any cocktails on the TikTok.
Yeah. Puts a glass in his hand. He's like, ooh, what is this fancy thing? I don't know. He doesn't know what's going on. But yeah, good to have him back in action. Good to see another team alive doing things. So time will tell.
What do you make of Trey Turner leading off?
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it from a traditional standpoint, it kind of makes sense. He's fast. He's a good guy to get on. I mean, I guess the only concern is like, is his on-base percentage actually going to be? I mean, I don't know. He's just gone through these like extreme highs and lows.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I kind of understand, I guess, why players like the routine and the consistency of having like a constant like, this is your spot, you know. But I sometimes kind of wish that it was accepted to be a little more fluid with the lineup and just kind of, like, play it, like, whoever is hot right now, whoever's been getting on base at a good clip the past 5 days, like, you're leading off. I don't know. Batting order is overrated, to be honest. It doesn't really matter that much.
It is. It is, yeah.
So, I makes sense. He's, like, of the players that they have, he seems like the most prototypical leadoff guy. So,
do you have any concern about Schwarber hitting lower in the lineup?
Nah.
I don't, because his batting style kind of bodes well to be literally anywhere. I mean, I guess we've also only ever really known him as the leadoff guy, so it's hard to really tell what he would do elsewhere. But the guy is going to give you, I mean, all he does is go yard. Or he'll give you a little dinker and maybe get a single. Sure, but he was actually doing pretty well getting on base.
He hit like 250 last year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing with Schwarber was, as much of a, as odd as it was to see someone with that kind of skill set being your leadoff hitter, he did draw a lot of walks. So, you know, ultimately you want the guy who's getting on base at the highest clip.
Yeah. I mean,
getting the most at-bats. You know,
He gets on base a ton. So, yeah, I think the question's going to be how much Trey Turner can kind of imitate that, you know what I mean? Because Trey Turner, it's not really one to work in a bat, even when he's going well. He's going to get hits, but he's not really going to see a lot of pitches, which the rest of the lineup kind of benefits from Schwarber leading off. He's going to see 6-7 pitches in that bat, and you can kind of see what the pitcher's got. You know, Schwarber makes an out, the guys behind him have a chance to see what the pitcher's throwing, see how the curveball looks that day, the changeup, and they can kind of time up their ABs a little better. So, jury's out on if Turner is able to kind of do any of that stuff. I think having the speed element at the top of the lineup will make a lot of sense. I mean, you get Turner on first, he gets a single or a walk, should be able to turn most of those into doubles, get to second, get to third. Then having Schwarber lower, all those leadoff home runs, those become two-run dingers, three-run dingers, grand slams.
That would be my point, is that like how many games did we lose by 1 or 2 points where Schwarber hit a home run, but you know, you got nobody there on base, which is fine. You know, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game as a leadoff guy. But typically, you want your biggest bat in the four hole or whatever, like somewhere that's going to hit all the guys, you know, bring them home. But, you know, I think it's worth a shot. I mean, they've had Schwarber at first in the lineup for a couple of years now. And if they want to change it up, you got the guys to do. You know, I also don't think that really him going in front of Turner has been a good pairing, right? You look at Harper and Cassidy, they kind of feed off each other. That they both have that kind of I want to be the top guy mentality. And there was a lot of games where they'd go back to backyard or back to back big moment hits. I didn't get that same energy with Schwarber than Turner. It was always like if Schwarber struck out 9 times out of 10, Turner's not really going to do well. But if Schwarber hit a home run, Turner might get on base. We'll see. It wasn't the same energy that way.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I will miss is the leading off the game, home run.
First
at bat of the game, home run, just like punch him in the face right at the start, which, I mean, I guess feels really nice, but at the end of the day, in the aggregate, does that actually win you games? Maybe not.
I mean, look at game one against the Mets, right? Didn't Schwarber hit a leadoff dinger, then we didn't score any more runs.
First pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I do. That was always cool, though. They were like, oh my God, it's his 40th game now that he hit, first pitch home run. It's like, that shit's sick.
I mean, Turner has some pop, too. We won't get the same level of, like, leadoff home runs.
I'd just be curious to see how he does without the expectation, right? Like, it can't be easy going up if first pitch of the at-bat, Schwarber hits a fucking 350 dinger, and now, like, you're up to hit. I don't know. It just – he never seemed comfortable in that spot. So, we'll see. We got a long year ahead of us here.
Yeah. What I don't really want this to happen, but what I could very easily see happening is they start with Turner in the leadoff spot. He starts hot, slows down, it's really scuffling, then they just deviate from that plan. Schwarber's back in the leadoff spot, and they never go back to it.
It's kind of a Rob move.
I mean, Schwarber in the leadoff spot has worked, but yeah, like, try it out. I'm like, don't give up the minute it doesn't work.
Right.
And, like, it's funny I'm saying this now when this actually happens and Turner's struggling. You know I'm going to be sitting there like, yeah, they need to move Turner down in the lineup. But, no, I mean, it's easy to look at it now in spring training. Fresh perspective, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. We're ready to get experimental up in this.
You've also had the same lineup now for almost – it'll be the third season now with pretty much the same guys. So, like, move it, change it up, do something different. I mean, what else is there to do? You didn't bring any big acquisition in here. So, like, you got to move the pieces around a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, we'll we'll see how this goes. I mean, I'm all for it now.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder what that does for the rest of the lineup, right? Because Bryce already said he wants to hit third. So, yeah, if you have Trey leading off, who hits second?
I would almost put Cassie second.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of like Cassie hitting cleanup, though.
I like him cleanup. You know, he's got that. He's got a great-looking swing for cleanup, right? You know, it kind of has that sweeper move going for him.
He's clutch.
Whatever. Either Cassie, maybe a Stott. You know, I feel like
I kind of like that.
I feel like we deviated from that crazy run he had 2 years ago when he started off, what, 20 games in a row with a base hit or whatever, almost broke Chase Utley's record, or maybe did, I forget, as a Philly. But put one of the young guys down there low would be probably helpful. And keep Harper happy doing his thing. Cassie at four. I don't want to push Schwarber too far down. But to be honest, him being down the lineup is the same as him kind of coming in at the end anyway. You know, last year, if you got your 7-8 spot coming in and he comes in as the first spot. But
yeah, I mean, if you can count on the 7-8 guys to get on, then him leading off makes sense. But yeah, I kind of think, obviously, like, you'll have Trey leading off. I think the Phillies kind of like to balance the righties and lefties.
Yeah, it almost seems like too much. You know, with batting order, like we just said, is kind of like overrated. Actually, trying to like puzzle it together, it seems like the best thing to do is just to try to mix up the righties and lefties as best you can. So you can't have someone bring in their like lefty specialist out of the bullpen to pitch to like three guys in a row. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Rob's got decisions to make.
Plenty of time to work out the kinks.
Yeah.
Yo, what about my boy? Taiwan Walker's been looking good.
Yeah, man. They could have a really deep rotation, you know?
Not sold on him. He's got a lot to prove.
I'm not at all, but he apparently was hitting 94 the other day.
Yeah.
Regularly.
That's good. I'll take that. Good to have some velocity back, but we'll see.
Nah, the vibes are just off with him.
I mean, for your, like, a guy who's going to fill in as your fifth starter here and there, like, could do a lot worse.
He's still, what, 13 mil?
I think 18.
Yeah, they're paying him a lot of money.
But you better get that bitch up to 95, 96.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's not my money.
What I think is he's auditioning for other teams, right? Because, yeah, you figure the rotation set with Wheeler, some combination of Sanchez, Suarez,
Nola,
what do you call it, Luzardo? Like, that's your five. And then Painter, when he comes up, like, he'll – him and Luzardo, I don't know how they'll figure that out. So, yeah, they already have six very capable arms. Trade Taiwan Walker. Like, bring in, like, a righty bench back. Get him off the team, man. Like, I hope he continues to pitch well in spring training. And some team says, yeah, we need that guy. He'll fix us. He'll revitalize the vibes. You remember when he was going on Twitter complaining?
After
was that the NLCS 2 years ago?
Yeah.
He'll
fuck that.
I'm happy for him. He's pitching good. Get him off the team.
He can go to Pittsburgh, play with Derek Hall again.
Yeah, your boy.
My team boy up with his old pal.
My boy and your boy reuniting in Pittsburgh on the other side of the state.
They can hang out, have a thumb war in the dugout. Oh wait.
Yeah, go eat some mediocre Permane Bros sandwiches. Although that ballpark is sweet though.
It is a beautiful
park.
Yeah,
I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah,
I've never been to Pittsburgh.
We should go. We could boo Derek Hall then this year.
I feel like I put it on.
Is he in their starting lineup?
Dude, I feel like I put it on my calendar when they play in Pittsburgh. Because the last year, I was like, damn, I kind of want to go to this. It's sometime in June.
Perfect.
Yeah, June 6th.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah, Philly's in Pittsburgh. So
it's penciled it in.
Could be into that.
That'd be a nice little vacay. It's a weekend series, too.
Hmm. Pencil it in.
But anyway, what else we got to say on the Phillies? Is there anything? I was curious about this. What are y'all's biggest reasons for optimism? Like, best case scenario for this team?
I mean, I think the thing I'm feeling the best about going into the season is the starting rotation. You know, assuming that Wheeler and Nola are still, ace and ace B or whatever. The fact that they got Luzardo and he looks pretty good. You're going to get some innings out of Andrew Painter, assumedly. That rotation should be really good. Hopefully better than last year. It was really good last year. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they can just build on the great pitching depth that they had last year. I think it's even better this year.
What you got?
I think, I don't know, for me it's a little early to think about how good people maybe, you know, turn out or play together or whatnot. Only thing I kind of have in my back of my head is probably just because I'm still riding high on the Eagles. But, you know, you look about 2 years ago, right? Phillies had that great run. They go to the World Series. They don't get the job done. Come out the year later, they're like, oh, my God, we're going back. We got that sour taste in our mouth. We're going to do it. And they kind of have a pretty disappointing end of the year, right? You lose to the Mets. You start off like the Bedlam at the Bank is not the same, doesn't hit the same. You're barely winning games in the playoffs at home. It's just not, the vibes are not hitting. You come back the third year now, this year, offseason. Didn't make any crazy moves, right? You added a couple pieces here and there, but nothing that was breaking the bank. Mm. Nothing that really changed the locker room. The continuity is there. They probably feel the disappointment of the fans from last season. At the same time, we're able to see how great the city embraces their team when they perform for them and win it all with expectations high. I think that this year there's less expectations as a whole. I think we all expect them to be a championship contending team, but I feel like last year we were like, all right, you know, they can go back right away. This, I think we're happy if they go, but we understand if they don't, given how it ended in last year. So I think that just that sense of calmness is what will be their biggest gain here this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting you say that. Did you see that Castellanos quote?
No. Yeah, what did he say?
Oh, this was funny, man. I'm trying to load it up now. He was talking all about how there isn't a whole lot of pressure on the team.
Oh, but it was about steak and milk again. I like that quote.
Okay,
or is this it? Wine and milk?
Is this it? No, this isn't. This is part of it. But he basically talked about how last year people were hyping the Phillies up. And like you said, they didn't rise to the occasion. They didn't meet expectations. So this year he's saying, yeah, the pressure's off. Like, there's no pressure on us. He said, yeah, I mean, if we do well, then that's great. People will be excited. And then he was talking to like the media. He's like, yeah, and if like we don't do well, then you guys will write about it and talk about it, and that's pretty dope. He's so funny. But no, I mean, that is an interesting perspective, right? Because, yeah, they like last year they were more the hunted than the hunter.
Right.
This year they're kind of back to like that underdog. A lot of people are picking the Braves, or people look at the Mets getting Juan Soto, mm-hmm. and they're thinking, yeah, the Phillies, they're third fiddle.
And the Dodgers, you know.
Yeah, the Dodgers won the World Series, and they reloaded. Yeah. But, yeah, that does bode well for the Phillies. I think this team does well when they're the underdog. And in general, I think the city of Philadelphia prefers to be the underdog. So I'm optimistic about that. I'm optimistic about the rotation too. I'm kind of optimistic about seeing how some of the young players develop, right? Like Andrew Painter, like case in point. I think he's their best pitching prospect since Cole Hamels. I'm really excited to see if he can live up to the expectations. Orion Kerkering. Think in the back of that
solid
bullpen.
Yeah.
He's really going to hold it down. Stott apparently last year had like some nerve injury.
Yeah.
That like so really sapped his hitting ability. So he's healthy. And I mean, the Phillies, they're starting to get older.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest.
That's the biggest negative.
The window is closing for
sure. Yeah. The lineup for the most part are a bunch of guys who you have a lot of confidence in, but it's the same group a year older.
Right? Yeah. So, I'm interested to see if some of the younger players can kind of fill in the daycare, can graduate and become the high schoolers or whatever you want to call them. And, I mean, Johan Rojas is looking pretty brolic.
Yeah,
maybe he finally gets it together a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, the Phillies are still built around their vets, but I'm interested to see how some of the young players bring some energy and hopefully bring solid play. Really just make us feel better about the fact that these guys are getting older and a lot of them may or may not be here starting as soon as next season.
Yeah.
Then as far as, like, downsides, like you said, the lineup's getting older. In some ways, it kind of reminds me of the Phillies of the late 2000s, like the early 2010s, right? Like, they rode that core, and they rode that core to a lot of postseason success. One World Series, two World Series, they won one, the NLCS, and then they kind of petered out after that, NLDS. And I mean, that team just got old real quick. Ryan Howard tears his Achilles. He's not the same player. Chase Utley gets degenerative knees. He's not the same player. And, like, that was that. So there is some sense of concern that this might be their last year at this level if the young guys don't step up.
Yeah. Yep, we shall see. A lot of baseball to be played.
Yeah, I'm excited for baseball.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if you want to pivot to speaking of knees and potential end of an era.
Yeah, well, let's get to the Sixers.
The Sixers.
Yeah.
The Sixers. I guess they did finally win a game a few nights ago.
Against
right?
the Warriors, against of all teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were losing to scrub-ass teams like the Nets, the Raptors. Who else beat them? Some pitiful teams beat them, and then they beat the Warriors.
The
Bulls, right?
The Bulls destroyed them.
Yeah, by 50 points.
Yeah, fucked them up. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Like, you can tank, but damn,
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was wretched, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've been, ugh. I don't even know where to begin. We don't even really need to talk about the on-court product. It's just bad.
Yeah. More about the future with Embiid.
The State of the Union. State of Embiid.
Yeah.
We can't be talking about the State of the Union.
No, I meant like, I'm just saying like, you know, Embiid's not a, I don't know, man. I don't see a way where, I don't see how it works out where he plays again.
Ever.
Yeah.
Wow. I think he'll play again. I just don't think it's seeming unlikely at this point that he's ever going to be back to the player that he was. I don't know.
He definitely won't be the player that he was. Okay, maybe not never play again, but if he does play again, it's not – I just don't think it makes sense. I think if I'm Embiid, if I'm the people around him and his team, you know – Avery, you've been saying it every week when we do the pod. Like, he's got nothing. He's literally got nothing.
Yeah, he has no meniscus in his left knee.
What are they exploring possibly doing that meniscus transplant thing?
They're exploring all these.
That's never been done.
He's going to start.
On someone that big?
He's going to start doing, like, new age medicine. He's going to start seeing, like, a guru.
I just don't. Something. I don't
they
like
might
it.
As well try it.
Hey, yeah.
Yo, have you read, like, or heard about some of the things they're saying? Experimental. So there's like three things that they've talked about, like the team, like Colin Newbeck reported on this. He talked with some people, like Sixers staffers or whatever, his connections with the Sixers. So the three options that they have is they've talked about the meniscus transplant, but the problem is like there aren't too many 7'2", 300-pound men wandering around that you can just take a meniscus from. Well, they're not walking around, they're cadavers, but like you can't take their meniscus and put it in them. There aren't that many people that big.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. They were saying they were going to treat it with radiation. Like, you don't want to treat it with radiation. Like, that's going to come with, like, the effects of, like, sickness. Like, expose them to cancer.
What would that even
like,
do?
Carcinogen. It doesn't fix the pain, but it manages it.
It numbs it.
Embiid is going to be bald.
Yeah, you won't feel shit.
Yeah, give him chemo at that point. Yeah. Damn. So that's an option. And the other one was, what is this called? An osteotomy, where they, like, break a part of his leg.
They make him shorter?
No, so like they break.
Oh, I heard about this.
They break a part of his.
Break his hip or something?
So that, there are two different types. I've watched too many videos from the YouTube and Twitter doctors on this, but there's the hip one, but that doesn't really work here. There's one where they break part of his tibia and then they like set it so that when the tibia heals back, his knee adjusts and it takes some of the stress off his knee. All this stuff sounds like some witch doctor hijinks.
Nuts, yeah.
Like none of it is proven to work.
It almost like reminds me of that that surgery that some guys get to make them like a couple inches taller, where they break both their legs. It's like this brutal process, just to be like
instead of being 5'2", you're 5'4". Yeah. It's like cool.
It's like, all right, now I'm gonna get pussy.
Yeah,
it's like still like pretty short. Oh man, but yeah, it sounds like that kind of fucking shit.
Yeah, none of it's proven. So yeah, they like might as well just call some sort of guru and just have him like. Rub ointment on it. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like a lot of work to come back for not a full season worth of games.
Yeah, he's going to end up missing probably at least a full season, maybe even more.
Yeah.
I mean, by then he's what, 32, 33? It's like, what the hell's the point? But, I mean, he has this contract extension that he's on, which there's a way for the Sixers to get out of it if he medically retires. But, I mean, he's going to do everything he can to get that money, which, hey, I don't blame him.
If we had good ownership, I feel like the way that he's been kind of dealt with his whole career really as a Sixer, and if he had to go into early retirement, they should, you know, you would think that they would take care of him that way. At least give him some. I don't know.
This ain't no Jeffrey Lurie team.
No.
Yeah. It's a Josh Harris team.
I don't
know
if there's any like thing that that's been done before in the NBA, but like you would think that after all he's done for at least the Sixers and tried to do, and you know, he did give it his all. Literally gave up his whole fucking knees and all this shit for this team. Like,
yeah.
Okay, fine. He's got, what, 120 million or so still sitting out there?
I think 170 or 190. It's some absurd
contract.
You don't
have to give him the whole thing, but give him enough that's like, listen, you got to retire early. I don't know.
So I think the way that this works, so I might be mistaken on this, but if he does not play a game for a full calendar year, then the Sixers can approach the NBA and say, yeah, like, we think he should medically retire. And if the NBA agrees, yeah, he's medically unfit to return to play, he still gets paid the remaining money on his contract, and it doesn't count against the cap.
Okay.
It's not the phrase medically retired. That sounds like you're just like pulling the plug on your grandmother or something.
Yeah.
She's medically retired.
I feel bad for the guy. I mean, it just sucks.
What a brutal.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the most NBA way to go out, though.
One of the most unlucky athletes of all time.
He can't even retire normally. Even his retirement is medically induced. Like, it's just the most NBA way to go out.
Nah, man. Like, I've been saying this for a while. He's kind of a tragic hero. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's tried so hard to do everything the right way, like looking out for the city, and like, come into this well intentioned. And just at every step, something bad just has happened to him. Even going back to like his little brother dying when he first came over here, like the 2 foot surgeries, like breaking his face multiple times, Bell's palsy, like you name it, breaking his or tearing his thumb up a couple times. Like, just tragedy is always waiting to strike. And what is the other thing I said? I wrote this down. I said this about him before, the Dark Knight quote. You either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain. People are like villainizing him, dude. Have y'all seen some of the discourse on like Twitter and like social media? Just like, yeah, Joel Embiid doesn't play. He doesn't come to work. Like, he's a loser. Like, knew this was going to happen the minute they drafted him. Like, have some respect for this guy, dude. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And dude, he's going through it right now.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even like see it as much of this shit anymore, because I finally, on Twitter, I finally just made the switch to just use the following tab instead of the for you tab.
You were using the for you?
Oh yeah.
What?
It's like it's been great. I feel like this must be what it feels like for someone who's just been addicted to meth for years to finally get clean, and like all of a sudden you can just everything's like clear. But yeah,
I can't believe you're using for you.
Yeah. I mean, I used to enjoy seeing like, you know, just like random stuff pop off and stuff, but now it's just become so shitty. Like, I can, you know, I can just log on and see what like the Phillies lineup is going to be without having to wade through like 10 posts about like the Jewish question or whatever the fucking shit. Like, it's just become such a fucking cesspool. So like, yeah, now I just use the following tab, and it's been pretty good for my mental health at the
same. Yeah.
So yeah, just,
well, good for you, Trevor. Yeah,
it's gross, baby. It's because I've been reading Inner Excellence.
Yeah, there you go. Right there.
It's you know,
shout out to Jim Murphy.
Controlling my my mind.
That's great.
I finally realized, because Instagram started doing, like, Instagram would show you all these suggested posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to scroll so far to see something one of my friends posted. I'm like, yeah, I got to just get rid of this. And I finally figured out how to do that. Now I can just go open Instagram, see what my friends are up to, and I'm out. I don't have to see people calling Embiid a chump.
Do that too,
like, because yeah, people
I don't use Instagram as much.
People are like ridiculing this guy, like hitting him, beating him while he's down. Like,
yeah,
he's just had terrible luck. It's not his fault. Just all the negativity, man. We just won a Super Bowl. Like, this guy has played his ass off for the city, and you're just gonna throw dirt on his name? Like, be have some respect.
That's unfortunate, you know, but people need something to talk about. So if he's an easy target, he's a big target. That's kind of half why he got here, right? His sheer size alone was great for him being a dominant player when he was healthy, but then you get those weird fluke injuries where you're catching the elbow at the eye, you're catching, you know, wherever, left and right, you're falling down weird. I mean, he jumped so much and fell down like a baby giraffe every time. Like, there was no, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think some of the falling's by design, so he takes stress off his lower body, but I mean...
Yeah, but it was never... I feel like, you know, if that's your move all the time, to fall down and try to...
The ground's undefeated,
Yeah, you know, it's just brutal. But sucks to see. I just think it's an end of it's definitely the end of the era. Whether or not, if he comes back, he'll be a young Frankenstein version of himself. Like, he'll just be...
Yeah, it's sad.
Patched up, put together.
It's crazy to think, what, 13 months ago he had 70 points in a game?
Mm-hmm. No.
Literally, the two games after that, Kuminga lands on his knee, and that was that.
Dunzo.
And then he has that play against the Knicks where he throws it off the backboard and dunks it. Mm-hmm. I think he tore the meniscus again when that happened. But then he still came out and put up 50 points in a playoff game two games after that.
Yeah.
But
he can play basketball. He just needs knees.
I mean, like, a sport where you run and jump, you need your knees. Yeah. Who would have thought? But nah, like, I don't know. People saying he shouldn't have played in the Olympics. Dude, he played like 15 minutes a game in the Olympics.
He didn't really play.
And they don't win that game against Serbia without him. There's no gold medal without him. So, nah, he did the right thing playing in the Olympics. If anything, the Sixers, like, their medical staff has botched this whole thing.
Oh, 100%.
As always, right?
100%.
Like, saying, yeah, if he plays on it, it's going to get better. And it just got worse and worse.
Which, what kind of fucking logic is that? Who? What?
Like, the guy, like, probably has arthritis.
Dr. Nick.
Degenerative knees. And you're going to tell him, yeah, your knees will regenerate if you keep playing on it. No, right. I don't think it works like that.
Yeah. So, they did him wrong. All we can hope for that the tank is successful, really, at this point.
Yeah,
the big thing is Nick still around or no?
Hell no, absolutely not.
So I just wanted to ask and see what was happening.
No, dude,
Nurch.
Yeah, Nurch. He's
Nurch.
He's. Don't even get me started on him.
I'm getting you started. Give me some takes here.
So, one of my biggest problems is when it's 2 minutes into the game and he challenges play that probably has very little chance of getting overturned.
Or
and
very little impact to the game.
Yeah. You're down 4 points 3 minutes into the first quarter. There is absolutely no reason to challenge this play. Burn your only challenge. And so many times in games that would come back to bite them where they're down two late in the game and the refs blow a call. And the players are telling him to challenge it, and he already uses challenge on that stupid. So that's one thing. Dude, also, like, understand the Sixers this season has been beset by injuries. Maxey's hurt right now, and Embiid's out for the year. Paul George has a groin problem, torn tendon in his pinky, two hyperextensions of his knee. McCain tears his meniscus, speaking of menisci. Like, everything's gone wrong, but, like, you still have to be able to rely on your coach, especially like a championship-winning coach, to pull you out of it. And you could argue he's made it worse.
Yeah. You would see, like, a guy like Spoelstra, he would, you know, they would still suck, but they wouldn't look embarrassed. They wouldn't get beat by 55 points by some team, you know. Yeah. He'd be keeping it close or doing something. There's, like, no – this is the opportunity. If you guys have all your top guys out and hurt, this is the chance for the young guys to grow. And he's giving them no direction.
He was playing Kyle Lowry.
Right.
Like, what the heck? Kyle Lowry is several years older than me. Or not several. I think he's like 3 years older than me. He's a few years older than me. He should not be seeing the court for 30 minutes
for
in an NBA game
basketball.
In 2025, dude.
His role was supposed to be, if we went a deep playoff push and everybody was healthy, he'd come in here and there. He wasn't supposed to be a main piece on the board.
So that, and then... This was egregious. The one game against the Celtics where they blew the Sixers out. Like, the Celtics are one of the most historic, like, shooting three-point teams in NBA history, right? And, I mean, when teams go to zone defense, the best way to beat a zone is to shoot threes. So, Nurse, the Sixers are already getting blown out. The Celtics are bombing away from three, and the Sixers are playing man. So, then he goes to zone, and you know what happened? They started bombing away from three even more. It's like, dude... I've known this since I was playing rec league basketball when I was 10. You don't play zone against a good shooting team. He sat in a zone for a whole quarter. He was given his reputation as a guy that'll tinker and a guy that'll make adjustments on the fly. And he'll have the adjustment to the adjustment and he'll respond well to tension and pressure. And he's done the exact opposite. He's turtled or just made boneheaded, stupid decisions and... Yeah, I mean, it works, right? Because it's good. We want the Sixers to lose, but I don't know. I mean, if this is him coaching well, then what's going to happen when the team is set up to win in a few years? and you still have him doing boneheaded stuff like this, you're going to end up wasting Maxey's prime the way they wasted Embiid's. So yeah, he's got to go. I don't know who they bring in at coach. I have no idea. I haven't really started to have that conversation. But Jonah was right all along. He coaches
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, he coaches the most, but not the best, I think was Jonah's quote. Shout out to you, Jonah. You were right the whole time. Nick Nurse is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's all I got to say. Mic drop.
Wait, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Isn't it
a sheep in wolf's clothing? No. Wait, what?
See, y'all don't even know what it is. Yeah, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a sheep in wolf's clothing, right?
No, okay. He's a wolf in sheep's. No, because otherwise he'd be a killer now.
Well, he ain't no kid. Yeah, he's a sheep.
I feel like saying that he's a wolf.
Yeah, it implies that he's tough.
Yeah,
no, he's a sheep in wolf's clothing. Damn, I said mic drop, and then I butchered that bigger speech. Yeah, we're rusty. It's been a few weeks on the citywide. Well,
I think wolf in sheep's clothing is the phrase, but I just don't think it applies
to him.
To him.
Well, he's a sheep in wolf's clothing.
Yeah, he's
clothing.
The opposite. Yeah. See, all that talk about nerds got you all fucked up.
Yeah, no, like, I'm heated. Body temperature went up a couple degrees. Nah, I really don't like, he's got to go. I don't know what they do.
What if they keep him? If there's a world that they do keep him.
Then Josh Harris is even dumber than I thought. Josh Harris and Daryl Morey, they're even dumb. Well, Daryl Morey, I don't think he's that dumb. He's just off doing crypto stuff and a bunch of other nonsense. But yeah,
he's off buying Trump coin.
Yeah, and Crumble Cookie.
Crumble Cookie.
Yeah, Josh Harris is dumber than I thought if they keep Nurse. I mean, you could make the argument that they should fire Morey, but I think Morey made a lot of the right moves. Like the Paul George signing at the time, we all cheered for it.
Yeah, I think we all liked their offseason.
You just can't predict injuries like that. Literally, the whole team got fucking sandbagged. Like, you know.
I mean, fucking Jared McCain, remember him?
Yeah.
Dude, it's so wild. It feels like that was two seasons ago.
Yeah, like it never happened.
He was so hot for, like, him and Maxey, like, you know, there's a way where Paul George gets healthy. Now it's Paul George, Maxey McCain. You're like, we're looking all right.
Yeah.
And then one by one, it's like, this domino fell. This domino, you're like, fuck, we got nobody.
Yeah, it just this is it? Dude, I was watching this game what game was this? Monday against Portland. They had a lineup out there in the third quarter after Maxey got hurt. It was Jeff Doughton Jr., Ricky Council, who the hell else? Adem Bona. What's this dude's name? I don't even know.
It's like
some
literally
of these
processed Sixers.
Dude, it felt like exactly.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel's out there. You're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's like Nerlens Noel. He's still alive. It was
like, like the processed Sixers when there were guys who were just like having the moment of their lives because in normal circumstances they would just not be on an NBA team. But because the Sixers are doing this thing, all these guys get to make the league minimum and Some of those lineups feel like that.
I mean, the ticket prices are back down to process error just
I haven't been – dude, I have not been to a Sixers game. I didn't go at all last year. I have not been at all this year. But, like, man, I don't know, man. If I could get courtside seats for, like, a couple hundred bucks or something.
Probably not even. They won't even be a couple hundred bucks.
Dude.
They're usually thousands of dollars.
There was a game this week, though, that was like $5.
Well, that's nosebleeds.
I'm just saying, yeah, that was the first ring.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, what is a courtside, like a fucking on
I'm
going to
say $250.
Sitting next to Josh Harris.
You can get section 102, row 15 for $98.
Yeah,
that's
that ain't
good.
Courtside.
That's not bad.
I mean, I don't see if I can zoom in here.
I'm going to say $250.
No, there it's.
$411 for floor level.
Not bad. Too far off.
Straight up courtside, row one, $1,200.
Ah. Yeah, it's still over a grand.
That's still too much.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's too much.
I'd pay like a couple hundred bucks if that happened.
I mean,
happened.
It's like I could do it.
I would pay
but it would just be a very poor use of
money. Well, who are you going to see, though? Like, you're spending all that money unless LeBron James is coming to town.
It's just the experience. You might be getting to sit next to the fucking slumlord that sits down there.
He's on his deathbed, dude. They always show him looking all frail with his sunglasses on, just like mouth gaping open.
I fucking hate that guy. What do they call him?
The sixth man, the 76th man. Yo, the funniest is when the players will come back to the bench and he starts trying to talk to them. They always
Do you remember
the
one time he was trying to like walking up to like James Harden and was and like I was just looking at him like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, get the fuck out of here.
He's a creepy old man.
Weird old man.
Nah, he's an old freak.
He's literally just like he just like owns all that student housing around Penn and stuff. And he's just like a slumlord.
He's like 80 something years old too.
Yeah, a huge piece of shit.
He'll have his Jack Nicholson mobile. He'll eventually be banned soon. He's getting there.
I mean,
is Jack Nicholson banned
from the Lakers? I thought he was.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not together anymore.
You know what? You don't see him at Lakers games.
You don't see him as much as he's fucking old as shit.
Before now, he was at, I forget what award show he was at recently, but he got banned for because he just kept dropping shit and getting wasted at every game.
Yeah, maybe.
He used to have courtside seats.
I remember years ago you would always see him at Lakers games.
Yeah, but he got banned before he got like old and decrepit. He got banned because they were like,
they're just using him being old and decrepit as an excuse to cover up the fact that he's banned for being drunk and disorderly.
Yeah. He's just too old, but he was just getting fucked up. They were like, dude, you can't keep doing this shit.
Yeah, the 76 man, I think he might be forced to medically retire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Medically retire from going to games and just
put that
man
down.
You got to stay home and watch this game in bed. Jim Lynham's like that too. Like, shout out to Jim Lynham, but like, how is this man still like doing post-game live? He's like 80 years old.
Well, fucking, what's his name? Who just did his last game?
Brown? Yeah. It was like 90.
It was a Sixers game.
Yeah, it was the game before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, damn. Oh, yeah, that's right. What a game to go out on.
Yeah, the Sixers get destroyed by the Bucks. Meanwhile, no one cares because the Super Bowl is in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. He's like 94 years old or some shit.
Yeah,
he's in his 90s, right?
I think he was like 92.
Damn.
Jesus Christ.
That's elder abuse. So I don't think we ever talked
about this on the pod before. I just saw a video of Willie Nelson. And he's apparently in his 90s now.
He is?
He did a concert like a year or so.
Yeah, he still performs.
He still looks. Wait, let me make sure I have that right. That wasn't just like some shit.
I think he is, though. I mean, he is.
He's got to be up there.
The thing is, like, though, Willie Nelson has always pretty much looked old, though.
Yeah, he's looked old for 50 years.
Like, the dude's looked the same for forever.
Yeah.
And, like, still smokes a shit ton of weed and, like, is just chilling.
Yeah, he's got to be.
He's 91.
Jesus.
I saw him in concert, though. Maybe he must have been 5, 6.
That's wild. Maybe the key is just to smoke weed all the time.
Yeah.
I must have seen him 6 years ago. Dude sounded great. The only weird thing is, like, all his kids are in the band now. So, like.
Yeah, well, that's what the video I saw was him playing with his kids, but
he's
in his 90s.
He's got a shit ton of kids.
Yeah, that's fucking wild,
dude's
man.
Dude's like a rabbit.
He was born
there.
In 1933.
Jesus.
God damn.
He's not rolling in like Ed Rendell in a wheelchair either.
Yeah, no, he's chilling. Puts on a good show still.
Good for him. I hope I can do anything when I'm that old.
The good thing is, it's not like his voice is very, you know,
he doesn't need to, like.
He's just kind of talking into the mic and singing.
Yeah, he ain't belting.
I remember. Did you come with us when we saw Apartment Funkadelic?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah,
remember
George Clinton had to keep taking breaks.
Dude, I remember, he didn't really sing anything. He would just, like, stand on stage and kind of, like, sway back and forth. Every once in a while, he'd just, like, bring the mic up his mouth and be like, yeah! Like, every, like, 10 minutes.
And he would take like, so many breaks. He would go off stage for a song and the band would play without him. And then
that
he'd come
show
back.
Rocked, though.
It was awesome.
Was
they were
sick.
Tight.
There was, like, 20 people on stage. There was, like, the huge, biggest band I've ever seen.
The Ardmore Music Hall, a small venue like that. That was an experience. I would see them again.
Yeah, that was sick. But yeah, at least, you know, got to see George Clinton. That was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. That's always, it's always funny to see, like, people that are, like, old as fuck.
Like, old heads up there doing their thing. Like, this is fucking
sick.
Yeah,
good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lived a lifelong dream and they continue to live it.
That's all you asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
amen,
I guess.
To that.
We got anything else on the Sixers? I think I'm done talking about them. Let's hit the Flyers real quick and we can wrap up with the Eagles. I want to talk about the Frozen Four.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen.
That's the college one.
Yeah, the Four Nations.
Yeah, the Four Nations.
Yeah, that was badass, yo.
Yeah, I didn't really. The only game that I actually sat down and watched the whole thing was the final.
Same.
That first U.S. Canada game, I was doing something. I couldn't watch it, but.
When they started fighting right away?
Yeah, when they were like just from the drop, started fighting. It was cool, man. I was like low key rooting for Canada.
Oh, I was high key rooting for Canada.
I was like, I was, you know, but it was a great game. Really cool concept. But I guess the one thing I will say is that I do think, like, I mean, if you see like this, you know, all these like videos like PK Subban kind of like shitting on the NBA and like it's like, yeah, because it's. it's been talked about a lot because there's this juxtaposition between like the NBA All-Star game, which is a complete joke now.
Oh, it's horrible. It has been
for
years,
but this year it was just a new level of just a joke.
Debauchery.
And then you have the NHL tournament, which was just like intense as fuck and like people playing and stuff. But I do think that people were talking about it and sort of making it out as if this is what the NHL thing is always like. And it's like the NHL All-Star game for the past few years has also been a complete joke. Like,
that bullshit speed rally.
Like, they like did this.
They do a three-on-three tournament too, right?
Yeah. And like, so they did this thing this year that was different and new and fun and a great idea and stuff. But it's also like, okay, like, let's calm down. Like, the NHL All-Star game has also been a complete joke for years. Like,
you just now got your shit together.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, they're not going to be able to do this every year. We'll see what they end up doing.
It would be cool if they had some format like it where you have world teams going against each other. I mean,
you'd
have to involve Russia, which I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Are you kidding me? Yes, it will. They're ready to be fucking...
That is true.
Once they wrap this up,
they're about to be all good to go. That could happen. But then, like, Germany, I know, has got some good players.
I think they're also talking about doing a World Cup of Hockey thing. So I think they'll do something like the Four Nations, and then the next year they'll have, like, a different sort of international tournament, like, in the offseason maybe or something. I don't know. But it sounds like they're not going to be able to do the Four Nations thing, like, every year in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
But maybe every couple years.
Yeah, I mean, that was – it felt like watching the Olympics. Like, I was saying this to this guy yesterday.
Yeah,
vibes,
yeah. It did have that.
And, yeah, I mean, with the NBA, like, yeah, these guys aren't really playing for anything. These, like, guys in the Four Nations are playing to represent their country.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't want to let their country down. And it was a great game. I mean, I think – the political tension certainly fueled that final game, right? You had people booing O Canada.
Yeah.
Which, not for nothing, O Canada is the better anthem, in my opinion, but that's a different story for a different day. But, the political tension fueled it. And also, I mean, U.S. and Canada both have a bunch of good players. Canada, obviously, that's where hockey comes from. But the U.S. is caught up.
Yeah, no, the U.S. has definitely closed the gap there. I mean, I think on paper they were the better team. It's just fucking, like, it was funny – for the whole tournament, I was just like, I cannot believe that Jordan Binnington is the best goalie that fucking Canada
could throw out
there.
His head.
He was unbelievable in that final. So, hey, man.
Yeah, and then we
came
got
up
to see
when it mattered.
The Travi win something. Dude, I was watching them at the medal ceremony, and it was so funny seeing Konechny, because he didn't play in that game. So, he didn't have his skates on. So, they, like, called his name, and what do you call it? He jumps on Brad Marchand's back. And then Marchand just skates him out. That was so funny. But nah, I mean, that was a good time. The Flyers in general, since they got back, they've been playing well. The game I was at last night, notwithstanding, like, Mishkov's back on his game, dude.
Yeah.
He is an incredible
person. Could be back
person,
in the, Calder Trophy conversation, maybe. I haven't checked the odds lately, but he's climbing in the overall points for rookies with a lot less ice time than the other guys.
Yeah.
So,
he should have had his 20th goal last night. They gave it to Kutz. It was funny. We all thought it was Michkov, and I said to Adrian, the guy who I was sitting next to, I was like, yo, he had a bet. He had a Michkov anytime goal bet.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, yeah, that's Michkov's goal, dude. And then this morning, I come to find out that they actually changed it to Kutz.
Damn.
So when that happens, I should ask him this, actually. So when that happens, does FanDuel take his money back from him? They can't.
I think they can, yeah.
They can?
Fuck.
Yeah.
What if he cashes it?
I've seen... I guess if he withdraw, I don't know. I've never had that.
I should ask him.
The odds of people withdrawing, though, I feel like aren't that...
Nah, you're probably not going to. No. Unless it's like a huge bet and like you're like, yeah, I'm doing something with this money. But but Mishkov, good to see him almost get his 28th goal. He's gonna get it. He's gonna get his 20th goal. Oh, yeah. That shootout goal the other night.
Oh, that was sick.
That was nasty.
Yeah.
I was starting to doze off, and then he makes that goal, and I just like screamed. I yelled. It's like hell yeah.
you were dozing off at the game?
No. The shootout goal against Winnipeg
not
the other night.
Last night. Oh yeah.
Oh, I was alive at the game. Gritty was
again, man. Your bed just hit, dude. Yeah.
Gritty was right next to us. That was the second time I've been that close to Gritty. It was, and then. these kids, man, we had good seats. These kids were sitting in front of us, and they were all excited to see Gritty. They were like, Gritty, Gritty, we want to see Gritty. And then he got real close and he started doing his eye thing where his eyes going this way and that way. One of the kids looked like he was going to cry. The other was like, his eyes. It was hilarious, man.
The terrifying eyes.
It's all fun and games. So you get the mascot face to face and you're like, oh shit. Oh my God.
Yeah. Now yeah. Gritty's an agent of chaos. He was up to some tricks last night. Mm-hmm. He built a big box tower. And luckily the boxes fall all over the people.
Oh yeah.
What else did he do? He was playing his drum. First he had like a snare drum, then he had a floor tom, then he had a bass drum. That bass drum was booming. It's a shame it didn't lead to the Flyers winning, but it was a fun time. It was my first game since the last game last season.
I've been to a couple this year. They've lost both of them. But
yeah, maybe we shouldn't go to the Flyers games. We're probably bad luck.
I guess.
But nah, man.
Trade deadline coming up.
Yeah, you think anyone else gets moved?
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. I don't know. I guess if anyone, it's probably going to be Lawton.
Did you see that Last Supper?
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
That was funny as hell.
That was so funny.
I mean, even though at the time, like, there weren't any rumors of him getting traded, it was funny to see him just have a play on the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think, it seemed like it was just him, like, fucking with everybody, which is really funny. But
so you think he's more likely to go than Risto?
I would think so. I don't think Risto has a whole lot of suitors right now, given the contract. And
he's been playing well.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I would rather see Risto go, but I do kind of agree with you. Lawton has more value. He also has more value to the Flyers, right? He's the alternate captain. He's a vibes guy. I guess he's the longest tenured player on the team at this point. No, Coots. Yeah, he's one of the longest tenured players on the team. No, I don't know. He's great in the community. We'll see. I mean, if he gets you a first round pick, then you have to do it. A second round pick, you probably have to do it. If it's anything less than that, then just keep him.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like there could still be moves made ahead of the draft or something. Like, I don't think they have to.
That's true.
I don't know. I feel like they're not going to move him unless they get a really good deal. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they already made their trade, right? They traded Farabee and Frost. That was probably the big move.
That was probably, exactly.
Which it was weird seeing them in Flames gear last night.
Yeah.
Like, Farabee looked so weird. Both of them looked so weird in red, white, and yellow. It's just strange times.
Yeah.
Did you see this Flyers hat they're giving away tomorrow?
Pathetic. Yeah. Pathetic,
it's so funny. It just says Flyers.
And just like a plain, it's just like a gray hat with just a plain font that just says Flyers. Like,
that's might as well just say, hockey team. They're getting fired. Whatever interns bought that shit, they're done.
It reminds me, have you ever seen that picture that goes around every once in a while of Rob Lowe sitting at a football game and he's just wearing an NFL hat?
Yeah. It is kind of the same vibe. Yeah.
Dude, it kind of, I feel like the fact that it's so bad kind of makes me want to go to the game and get it.
This is hockey. This is stupid.
If I hadn't just gone to the game last night, I'd be tempted.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Those tickets are cheap, too. You probably get Flyers tickets for like $10 right now, upper level. I mean, we paid with fees $87 to sit 10 rows off the ice.
Yeah,
it was a good seat.
Hell yeah. I mean, they're great seats.
Without fees, it's like $50, which the fees are, ugh. Don't even get me started. Yeah. I already got heated once on this episode.
Yeah, the StubHub fees are getting insane. It used to be like $10.
Everything, every ticket, and now it's Ticketmaster, like StubHub, they're all just, they're bending you over.
Dude, yeah, I was like trying to get tickets to this concert in May or whatever, and I was going through the ticketing website or whatever, and it was like a show at Franklin Music Hall, like the old Electric, used to be the Electric
Nothing
Factory.
Nothing crazy. Yeah.
And like, it was like with fees. It was like $95. I was like, "What the fuck?"
That's absurd.
But then what I realized is that like I noticed that it said like resale. And it doesn't like tell you that it's like technically sold out, and these are like resale, reseller tickets. But the thing is, like now with the way these sites work, the resale market is done through the same site as the original tickets. So that means like they have no incentive to like prevent like bots from buying the tickets because they're just making fees all like every time.
It's so crooked.
Total fucking racket.
Damn.
It's like unbelievably like fucked.
So did you get them?
No, I was like,
you can't. I don't think I can justify it.
I was like, I don't want to go that bad. It really sucks. Like with shit like concerts though, because it's like if you really want to see the band, like they really like have you by the balls. It's not like you're gonna go buy some other consumer product. I don't want to pay this much for this laundry detergent. I'll just buy the cheaper laundry detergent. Like, there's no, like, you either see the band or you don't. You know what I mean? You can't just.
And it sucks for the band because, like, you want to see them, but then it's like, you know, it's not because I don't want to go see you, but now that you got all these extra fees tied up in there.
Which those fees aren't going to the band either.
No, they're not getting any of that. That's what makes it more infuriating.
Like, they're not getting any of that money.
Yeah.
And half of the fucking price is going to fucking Ticketmaster or StubHub. You're like, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah, like when, a few years ago when politicians came out like denouncing Ticketmaster, I was kind of like, yeah, they're bigger fish to fry. But now I'm with them, man. This has just gotten just out of pocket.
Yeah.
Like the tickets, the fee should not be almost as much as the ticket.
No.
Yeah, you know it's unbelievable.
I mean? And for us living in Philadelphia, yeah, I mean, it's easy for us to get to a game. Imagine you live in Williamstown, New Jersey. You want to go to a Sixers, or well, Sixers games are cheap, a Flyers game or an Eagles game. So not only do you have to pay the ticket and the fee, but then you got to pay the park.
Right.
You got to pay the toll. And what should have been just
you gotta pay buying the ticket. Piss bucket.
Well, you don't have to pay for that. But what should have just been the expense of buying the ticket at face value ends up becoming this whole debacle that it's just, I mean, you'll do it because like if you have family, you have kids, you want them to get the experience. But like it kind of it's going to have to make you reconsider a little bit.
Yeah.
You saw that change a little bit, though, for the Super Bowl this year. Whether or not we were in it is irrelevant. But the fact that, like, they started off at, like, $5,000 a pop and no one bought tickets. So then, like, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, they started dropping the price. They were like, all right, we got to get people in here. And they just started buying them. It's like, people want to go. You will make your money. You'll be all right. Just don't fucking nickel and dime everybody.
Yeah, don't be a
like,
greedy
damn,
prick.
You can't even see a – you can barely even see a bad band for cheap anymore, honestly. The way shit's popped off like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like more than just inflation. It's like just become ridiculous.
It's just greedy shit. Like it's just they got, but there that really is it. Like there's no unless you know someone that bought tickets. That's like, hey, let me get them. I'll pay you whatever. You can't get tickets for anything. That it's just brutal.
No, it's horrible. I remember the days when like concert tickets be like $12. You pay in cash at the door. You're good.
Yeah,
none of that. No ticket. You never get a ticket anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to like to collect some tickets from some of the shows.
Yeah, I used to have like an envelope full of like ticket stubs and shit, but that's like, don't get that anymore.
Mm-mm.
This newfangled world, man, this ain't it. We're getting too old for this. That's what I think.
Yeah. The more things change, the worse they get.
Yeah. But anyway, we could lament a whole lot more wrong with the world. Let's bask in the glory of our birds, yo.
Yeah, man. The bald eagle has landed for another 3 years.
He is back.
Yeah.
Zach Bond re-signed 3 years. What was it, 51 mil?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like 30-something guaranteed.
36 guaranteed. Saquon Barkley, first ever 20 mil a year running back.
Yeah, 2 years.
20, we got him forever.
Contract.
He's never leaving.
2 years, 41 million on top of he was already signed through next season as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But it's good. I mean, yeah, that's good. It's, you know, give the guy what he earned. Also helps make the Eagles an attractive place for free agents. It's like, look, we take care of people here. You know?
I mean, I didn't see the defensive side, but like just the fact of age, right? So you got Hurts, 26, Saquon, 28. So that deal is not going to really be, you know, you can be played the way he's about 30. 32 then at that point. If it's a
30, I think 31, 32.
But Dallas Goedert, 30. A.J. Brown, 27. Smith, 26. Dotson, 24. He'll probably be gone or whatnot. Mulata, 27. Juergens, 25. Dickerson, 26. I mean, the youthfulness on this offensive side of the ball, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I think you could look at the team as a whole. Like, if you want to look at it defensively, like, on the D-line, BG's probably going to retire, especially once he tore his triceps. He's probably done. But, yeah, I mean, you figure, what do you call it? Jalen Carter, he's got to be, what, early 20s. Moro Ojomo is early 20s, right?
Even Jordan Davis is
Yeah, Jordan Davis is young.
Davis,
yeah. Zach Bond is 28, right?
Yeah, Nolan Smith is a baby. Nolan Smith's 24.
Yeah, N'Kobe Dean, I think, is 25.
That's before the secondary. Quinyon
Mitchell's young. Yep. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's still young. Coop. Reed Blank, like, the whole team is set up for success. And Howie's done a masterful job of just kind of opening, creating this window and, like, keeping it open for a while, especially with these two moves. Your biggest addition on offense is here for a couple more seasons. Your biggest addition on defense is here for three more years. Let's get it, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, like, you know, the next 3 years you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts. Like, to have your starting quarterback, running back, and number one and two receiver for that long under the age of 28 stands, I guess, Barkley at 28 on the nose. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And, like, you look at all the moves everybody else is doing in the NFC.
Washington doesn't
really scare Debo. Yeah,
Debo's
like,
washed.
You know, the dude wore an Eagles jersey to the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah, so like, that was so okay, weird.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, they got all this money in free agency, which is the scary thing.
Yeah, your haters will be your waiters at the table of success. Yeah.
But to Trevor's point, like, you give all the money in the world to a shitty owner, and it doesn't matter if you don't know how to use it. Yeah, you bring in Debo Samuel. Woohoo! Like, wow.
I mean,
okay.
They still have a ton of cap space, so they could still do some things. And
they could.
I mean, Jaden Daniels is very good. Like, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of in
they're probably the second best run team in the division.
Yeah, but you look at that offense, I mean, though. Like, they have, what, Austin Eckler, right? In reality,
yeah,
their starting
old
running back is old.
Ertz
their
is
starting
old.
Tight end is Ertz. Debo Samuel. Like, yeah, if this was 4 years ago, I'd be like, holy shit, this offense is explosive. But you don't really have, you know, anybody from a scary point. You know, scary Terry, no pun intended.
I mean, Jaden Daniels is scary.
He is, but you got one more year of film. That defense of ours isn't really changing a whole lot. Now that we have Zach Bond back, that's a huge – that would have been a tremendous loss if he had walked big shoes to fill. But you bring him back, there'll be some regression. I doubt he'll be a potential defensive player of the year 2 years in a row. But I don't know. I just don't think right now – I think the moves that we've made compared to what Washington has done –
Oh, no, like, I mean, we're playing chess. The other teams are in the NFC are playing checkers, right? Like, Howie's just consistently one step ahead. And also it helps to have an owner that's willing to just pay these guys cash up front on a signing bonus or restructure their deals and give them a bunch of cash now to create cap space in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Jerry Jones ain't doing that.
Fuck
Jerry
no.
Jones is cheap as hell. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the Cowboys have been ass for the last 30 years, more or
That's
less.
That's the first time CTE ever crept up into ownership. They're not doing shit over there. They did restructure, though. They did free up, I think, 50 mil in cap spaces.
Yeah, they did.
They restructured CDs.
CD and DAC.
Yeah, and then what do you call it? Osea Digazua, I think, the D lineman. They did something with his contract, too.
Yeah.
So maybe Jerry's finally
they
getting hip.
Yeah.
But, like, Jerry, man, you've been doing this for 30, 40 years. This is the first time you're getting creative.
I think on a scary note, though, I do think that Myles Garrett will land in the NFC East. I think that between the cap space of Washington and their potential contendingness is probably enticing, especially with Dan Quinn over there. They have a good defense there. You got Bobby Wagner and a lot of other good vets. And they, you know, all intents and purposes, that defense was very good last year, with paired with Jaden Daniels' performance in that offense. Dallas makes a few moves. They have cap space, especially with the way it worked out at the end of the year, to free up for everybody. They could pay Myles Garrett some money, and it's enticing for him to be paired up with Micah Parsons, which would be intriguing.
Ooh, that'd be formidable. I didn't even consider that.
And then you look at the Eagles. You may not get the most money. However, you get the team that just won the Super Bowl. It's a
most set up.
Yeah, they're like ready to roll after being in fucking Cleveland for 8 years. I think he's going to be in this division by the start of the season.
Hopefully.
I don't know with who, but I think he will be playing in this division.
Hopefully it's with us. I mean, imagine him with Jalen Carter.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a wrap. And Nolan Smith on the other end, it's a wrap,
right,
dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. Howie kind of dismissed it at the combine, but Howie's always up to some tricks. That's his poker face. So
yeah, he wouldn't have said anything. You know?
Yeah. We are going to go after Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he can't say that. Yeah. So if Cleveland calls you, like, not you, but like if Cleveland calls Howie up and they say, yeah, we'll do it. You got to give us this year's first, which is 32nd.
Yeah, easy money.
You one more. You got to give up next year's second and you got to give us, I don't know, Nolan Smith.
What about
doing that? Because they're going to probably want some high-end defensive player in return. Or
no, I would trade off. I would give you – well, I mean, obviously there's no value in it right now with the way Huff played. But we could still trade Huff.
They don't want his ass.
But the Browns, the Browns just want draft capital at that point. You're not going to get a player comparable or even close to the way that Myles Garrett plays. I don't see them giving up Josh Sweat and Nolan Smith in the same year.
Yeah, the Eagles shouldn't do that. Like, so, I agree with you.
I don't think Howie won't get fleeced like that. He won't give up young talent knowing that he's, you know.
What about this scenario?
Because there's no really young ends coming in that we have. Nolan Smith is the guy. We don't have anybody else that really caught our eye on the end. You had Sweat, you had Nolan Smith, BG for a little bit. But other than that, there was no one else that really came off the edge.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, so Nolan Smith, you kind of need
you
to keep.
You got to keep him.
So, yeah, you probably have to say no to that, yeah. What about they need a quarterback over there? You had Tanner McKinnon.
Mormon Missile? Yeah.
Yo, good for him, dude. I'd be happy for him, but yeah, I would send him.
Ship his ass out.
Dude, he would go there and he'd probably light it up. He's nice.
He's like a Flacco. He'd be all right. He's launching that ball around. They got a good receiving core out there. Decent, I should say.
That should be Howie's counter.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll give you the Mormon Missile. This is a proven, or not proven NFL quarterback, but has all the tools.
A Super Bowl winning quarterback. Yeah. He has a ring.
That is true.
A Super Bowl ring quarterback.
That is
or
true.
Or Pickett.
I feel
give
like.
Give them both.
Yeah, give them both. I mean, I feel like they would want McKee over Pickett.
I would push Pickett first.
I would.
Yeah, I would be like,
because McKee's a really good backup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was so crucial in that kneel down in the Super Bowl. Yeah. He started.
We'll give him Braden Mann, too. A couple of special teams.
Did you see this? Braden Mann was on a retreat somewhere with his wife. Like,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
And he had her helping him like catch snaps and like field punts or field a snap goals. To set up the kick.
Yep. In their little bungalow in the jungle?
Yeah.
Dude, good for him. That's a baller, dude.
Yeah.
That's a baller. He takes no days off. It's the middle of the offseason. He's working on his game. I like a Braden Mann. He's better than, who do we have? Aaron Sipos was a bum, dude. Yeah. He's why we lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But I'm not mad about it because we won the most recent Super Bowl. But anyway, a bunch of stuff happened with the Eagles since last time we recorded.
A lot of injuries, a lot of surgeries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we can go there next.
Brandon Grant, getting
up to pee in the middle of the pod.
Yeah, I got you, man.
Damn, dude, you're going to have to start wearing some diapers down here.
There's
Jeez.
A sink over there.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, man, you got Brandon Graham re-tearing his tricep. So he's most, I mean, you know, is he wrapped up for another year or no?
What do you mean?
Like, is he... Do we have him under contract?
No, Brandon Graham? No. He was signed to a one-year deal.
I mean, you figure, you know, you give the man a vet minimum, maybe $1 million or $2 million.
I think this injury probably, he doesn't want to have to go through another rehab.
I think he's done too, but I think that if he wants to play and has the urge to play, I can see him coming back. Or no one picks him up. He heals himself up on the side, and then midway through the year, we're like, all right, like when we picked up Ndamukong Suh or Linval Joseph, you know. But the other young cats, funny to see them all get banged up and chained up and not even know that they were hurt.
Yeah, Nolan Smith tore his tricep.
Yeah.
Cam Jurgens need back surgery. Landon Dickerson needed knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? I feel like that's it, but those are all significant
injuries.
That's
all the major ones, yeah, but it's all big guys in the trenches.
Yeah, and then all of them is surgery, right? It isn't like he's sprained an ankle or like...
The funny thing is, too, is that it's all big guys in the trenches and all of those had... All those guys had major impact plays on the team, on the field.
And they were still balling.
Look at that one Landon play where he blocked a guy, did a back, like, spun around behind the back, and then blocked another guy.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith doing his fucking shit. You know, I mean, this team is.
Yeah, I mean, BG playing with a torn tricep, had a tackle, a pressure, forced a holding penalty.
Yep.
Like, shout out to all them, dude.
So it's good to see them doing their thing. You lose Slay.
Yeah,
as of now, for the cap hit.
Yeah.
He's not worth $4.3 million this year.
I could see him coming back on a vet minimum.
He's coming back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Slay is going to come back for probably a one-year deal worth $2 million.
Whatever the league minimum is for.
Most of it being like maybe like $1 million with a $3 million signing bonus, some shit like that.
Yeah, that is some Jeffrey and Howie stuff. Because
then he'll get his $4 million for the year, but it'll be mostly paid up front and then whatever. I mean, the funny thing is too, statistically, he had the best year of his career.
I have his stats pulled up. Saying. Yeah,
you talking about
Slay.
Right. So like, why not bring him back?
He had a 42.4% completion rating allowed, 5.4 yards per target, and 15 pass breakups. His best year with the Eagles. And we allowed a league low, 174 yards, the lowest by in the Eagles franchise in 25 years.
That's what I'm saying. It's nice to see the guy, like, he is an elite number one lockdown corner, right? His years of being in his prime are well behind him, for sure. But the fact that you have a guy like this who's kind of on the downturn of his career, like the swan years, as they say, but you have Quinyon and Cooper DeJean now that he's helping build up to that. Even Kelee Ringo on the back end, number three. It takes the pressure off of him, and you saw that this year how that transact. Like, he wasn't hurt all the time. He would come out.
He would normal, get banged up for like, a few plays. Yeah.
But he'd come back in for the game. But Slay, it was just so good to see him out there playing, like, free.
Dude, that pick against the Packers, that was nasty.
Yep.
That was sick. I mean, he's 34 years old out there making those plays.
You know what number he wore for his first pick as an Eagle?
27. No, wait, 26?
24.
24.
It was just funny to see because they were like, oh, his first pick and his last pick for right now.
Yeah.
And I forgot he had a different jersey.
Yeah, because corners weren't allowed to wear single digits back then. Yeah.
It was 24. It was kind of cool. So, you know, I think he comes back. He said before he wants to be an Eagle. I don't see his value. Like, I don't think he's going to get the bag anywhere.
It might be a BG situation where he's already announced he wants to play one more year and he'd be open to coming back. And if his market's not there, the Eagles let him sit for a little while and say, hey, like, we'll bring you back. Just like,
he's just a big don't get locker signed room by the guy, wrong team. Man. And he already turned down more money the last time for Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, what are you going to go?
He said he would also love to go back to Detroit. So that's probably the one team we got to worry about.
I mean, if they didn't lose all their fucking coordinators, though.
Yeah, I mean, they got their work cut out for him.
They got gutted.
I mean, I guess we lost a coordinator. What do you make of Kevin Petullo?
It's getting more Italian, baby. That's right.
Yeah, that is an Italian-ass name.
I don't know. I mean, you can see the continuity with him and Nick Sirianni. They were at the Colts together, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some Colt lineage. I think I've said this before, but I'm not really a big believer in the OC position for the Eagles at this point because they're just might as well be a revolving door. Eh. Like they're like catching a fart in the wind. It doesn't really matter. I mean,
I wouldn't be that like I get what you're saying and like I agree, but I wouldn't be totally dismissive of it. I mean,
it's not a Brian Johnson move. At least there's connection with Sirianni and this guy. People on the team, A.J. Brown, Devontae, Hurts have been like, I mean, yeah, we hear them. He's in every meeting. He's always been around. Like, he's not a foreign guy to them, so I'm okay with it. At the same time, I think this fucking offense is pretty foolproof. So you'd have to be a real idiot. You'd
be a real dumb piece of shit.
You'd have to be pretty fucking stupid.
To not succeed.
You'd have to be stupid to fuck this up.
Coordinator.
I mean, I hear that. And I mostly agree. It's just I wouldn't sleep on there being some growing pains.
I'm sleeping on it. I'm sleeping like a fucking baby. I'm not going to lie. If the defense – my biggest concern was defensive side of the ball.
Well, yeah, now Vic we Fangio, got ball and we're good. Yeah.
Vic Fangio is healed here, like I said, until he dies.
Until he dies of cancer.
You know? In some basement in South Philly, probably.
Damn, then now you're going even deeper.
He's coming home from the Palladium, having a good time, and just goes to bed and just is chilling. But OC, it is what it is.
Just chilling and he's dead.
Yeah, well, at an old age, he'll be like 88 years old, like an old man. Not like he'll be an old man coaching the birds. Probably have like, I don't know, pancreatic cancer, some shit like that. And then,
Would you stop bringing up cancer with Vic Fangio? Dude, if he gets sick this year and he has to miss time, I'm blaming you.
Listen, I'm not his doctor. I'm just saying what I feel. But anyway, we're not getting that with the offensive side of the ball. That's all I'm saying. There are going to be a lot of just new guys, new faces. I don't really care for the next 2 years because we have the pieces.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I mostly agree. It's just you never know. I mean, I'm trying to think of an example where a coach had good weapons and didn't do very well. Chip Kelly, different type of situation for sure. But I mean, Chip Kelly inherits Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson. Like, I could go on. Zach Ertz. And those offenses just became so predictable and stale so quickly that it didn't matter who they had. It's a different situation, but, like, I wouldn't be so dismissive of a new offensive coordinator just not having the potential to have a down season. Trevor, you got no opinion on that?
I don't know. Like, I guess it's just like, hard to be that worried given how good they looked at the end of last season. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced that was just
a fluke.
The Kellen Moore magic. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, I feel like they kind of know what they want to do. You know, as much as, like, I don't want, like, Sirianni to be too, like, meddling in the offense. It is, like, has been, like, sort of the one constant that, like, they kind of know how they want to play in the broader sense. And the fact that, you know, he's already been there, which I guess you could have said the same thing about Brian Johnson, but I don't know. I'm definitely not, like, concerned. It's kind of like a wait and see thing. It just kind of is what it is. I don't know who else would they have brought in where you'd be, like, feeling really great, you know. It's just kind of is what it is. I mean, unfortunately, when you have a team that performs this well, your coaches are going to get poached, which is how it is.
That's the cost
of doing business, you know.
Yeah, and I guess Nick's wearing the pants a little bit. He did just win a Super Bowl, so he gets him to call his shots. So he called a shot for his boy. We'll see. I think the interesting thing he did say that gives me a lot of hope for this whole situation is he did say, yeah, like, Kevin's not new to the organization, but we're going to bring in assistant coaches and position coaches, try to bring in some new ideas and some new mindset.
They did bring in a new passing quarterback coach from some...
Yeah, Scott Leffler from Bowling Green.
Yeah, I thought. So, you know,
who played with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
For whatever, so, like, that's worth.
Again, I'm sure there'll be a couple little mishaps here and there with a new coach, you know, and changing of the guard. There'll be some hiccups here and there. I just think that they've learned from the Brian Johnson move and how stagnant they got. But I think that team also, I mean, you look back at that season, the offense played their ass off. Like, they were firing left and right. A.J. Brown had 1,200 yards in the first 8 weeks or some shit like that. Like, he was set at 125 yards a game for the first 5 games of the year, where it was the defense that fucked up. So that's where I'm saying, like, yeah, the OC, I'm not being super dismissive of it. It is a big deal. They'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they have the defense kind of on lock is huge.
That is the big – if you're only giving up 13, 15 points a game, like I said, you got to be pretty dumb to fucking lose that shit with this offense.
Yeah, again, like, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't throw it completely out the window.
You know, I threw it out the window.
To your point, like, I think there definitely could be some growing pains. It might take a few weeks to figure this thing – to figure everything out, and
tough schedule, right?
I guess the one thing with, like, having a new OC like that, it's sort of he hasn't been, like, the play caller before. That's, like, something where, like, regardless of, like, his design on the offense, which I don't think is going to deviate that much from what we've been doing the past couple of years, the fact that, like, he has to be the guy who's in game calling the plays, knowing what to draw up, like, that is a big part of it. And he could be good at that. He might not be. We'll have to see. It's hard possible to judge right now. I just don't know.
I think that's true. I also think the biggest thing, like, there's very few things that surprise NFL defenses anymore. Like, you're not going to bring in a new guy. It's going to be like, oh, it's revolutionizing the game. Like, it's going to be the same shit that we've all seen for the last pretty much 5 to 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah, probably largely will be.
At the same time, it's going to be, how is he going to draw up plays where, if this team is going to block the, like, stuff the box, we're going to throw the ball. At the end of the day, as a defense, you're playing against this offense that has top two O-line in the NFL, if not the best. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, potentially a new rookie stud tight end, who knows, Saquon Barkley, and Hurts, who's been able to pick defenses apart in almost a Manning-esque boundary here. Changing plays, calling out defenses. Like, you put – that's all I'm saying. Like, it makes it very challenging. We don't need this guy to come in here and give us a new scheme, right? Just keep the unit the same and know how to call a decent game, and they'll do the rest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Hurts, this is his opportunity to take a little more ownership of the offense. And, I mean, we saw the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl when he does that. So, certainly more reasons for optimism than concern. We'll just have to wait and see. Like Trevor said, the play calling aspect is sneaky underrated. Like, can he get into a rhythm calling plays? We don't know.
We shall see.
I think, is there anything else?
You think they banned the tush push?
Hell no.
Oh, yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
It's no. Just, the Packers
just,
are...
just two or three whiners.
Yeah, they're just soft.
You know what?
The haters and losers.
The Bills call hating for and losing. Banning it. The Bills run it almost as much as we do.
Yeah, they just that's not as hypocritical. Good at it.
They're pretty good at it, though.
Yeah.
Like, what not are you mad
counts.
For?
Not when it matters.
Yeah, not when it matters.
Well, yeah, that's...
Second
they,
best.
They're mad because the Chiefs stopped them on it a couple times. Like, whatever.
Well, they didn't stop us.
Be better at
it. Yeah, fucking Sean... Dude, yeah, the best was, like, Sean McDermott being like, we're just, you know, concerned about, like, the safety of it or whatever. And they looked up, like, the number of injuries that have occurred
was
in that place. Zero.
Yeah.
0%.
Get out of here. Get out of here!
Yeah, I know Sean McDermott, like, he cut his teeth in Philly. He's a fraud, man. Yeah. I was talking with like some friends that are Bills fans. They're like, yeah, he's got to go. They really don't like him up there.
Yeah, he's a little bitch.
But somehow he keeps having a job. Like, he's on the Andy Reid trajectory, but not with the championships. He just chokes every year in the playoffs like Andy Reid did when
good
he was
for
here.
You shovel some snow in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Bitch, get out of here.
Yeah, nah, man.
Well, I mean, I don't really give a shit what they do with McDermott. They could do whatever they want, but...
It doesn't really affect us.
The ban the push-tush thing is... Tush-push, damn, did it again.
Push-tush.
You know what I mean? It's just stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I between the tush-push and just the fact that the way that a lot of the rest of the league and analysts kind of seem to undervalue or kind of shit on Hurts, I feel like it all comes down to... The fact that the physical ability of the Eagles is just, it's like people just feel like it doesn't count. Which I guess this is like mostly just like a Hurts thing where it's just like, you know, it's not like we're this is the big strong guy sport.
Right.
And we got a bunch of big strong guys and you're fucking trying to kill us for it. Right. You know what I mean? It's just like, you could have, you know, any team in the league could have drafted the quarterback that can fucking squat 600 pounds. All of them had the opportunity to do that. Any team in the league could have drafted the fucking massive rugby player that's never played football before. Mm-hmm. You decided you didn't want to do that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, we fucking got all the fucking strong guys.
Well, it's not like we're giving... That's
and
my...
we're taking advantage of it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know
the name
mean?
Of the game.
It's not like we're giving the ball to Mulata first. Like, we're giving it to the quarterback. Like,
that's a legal play.
For all intents and purposes, it is a QB sneak. And very rarely do they have to push Hurts. Like, they might, you know, put a hand on it, but, like, nine times out of ten, he's just...
I mean, that's the thing. Like, even if they, like, I've seen some people talk about it. It's like, well, you just go back to the rule where, like, you're not allowed to push the guy. And it's like, oh, even if they did that, I still think
he'd
they would be converting like 80% of the time.
Yeah. Did you see? I didn't even catch this. A Super Bowl game. They put
Chris Jones sideways.
Yeah. Like, what kind of leverage do you think he's going to get? He was literally this way, and you have fucking Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, and Jordan Mulata already lined up on his like ribs.
Yeah,
and it's
that
like,
was
what
so
did you
stupid.
Think was he going to do?
So he's going to have more leverage with half his body weight behind him than his whole body weight if he's like facing the line.
Right.
That didn't make any sense.
As soon as they call hike, he's just barreling his own guys. It was just putting a log in front of their legs
for
no reason.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, you know, fuck the NFL. Fuck them all. They hate us because they hate us.
Yeah.
Haters and you can try it. You can do it. Go for it. Go draft some big dudes. Go figure it out.
Good luck. You don't have a Salton University.
And now on top of drafting Hurts and Mulata, we also picked up Saquon Barkley, who can also squat equally as much, if not more, than Hurts. And he's pushing that guy. So, like, what do you think you're going to do?
People are just mad, dude.
Our center makes beef jerky.
They cannot beat our big, strong boys.
Our center makes jerky. You can't push that man around.
Our big, beefy lads, like I said the one time. That's just the identity of the team. don't be mad about us for it. Like, get strong, the get big, get in the gym.
Start eating some peanut butter jelly sandwiches and lifting some weights, man.
Yeah,
you gotta put some sticks of butter in that. They can't even beef up quick enough.
No, get in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Biggest start drinking NFL.
Olive oil straight out the bottle.
You gotta get an enema of that right in the bloodstream.
You know what they need? They need some milk.
They need some milk.
They need some milk.
Give them some milk.
They do whole need milk, some milk, dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Tush Push is here to stay. Which is funny to hear that it's an unknown name, too. That's not
They changed the name. The Eagles have changed the name. There was one year where they called it the Snoopy.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like there was, I don't know what they call it now, but I remember maybe a year or two ago they called it the Snoopy.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't know.
I feel like they don't even have to like call the play. If they're on the, I mean, I remember in like the mic'd up Super Bowl when they were, I guess their first like touchdown or whatever, when they're on the 1 yard line and you just hear Hurst be like, y'all know what time it is?
Yeah. And there was,
nobody needs to call the play.
They don't have to say it.
There was another game this year where Saquon said, yeah, you can't stop it. Like, you know what's coming. You can't stop it. So, yeah, they could call it whatever.
That was when he, against the Giants, he got down to the 1 yard line. He was like, he's not going to score his touchdown. They were like, just call the play. We're all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
We good?
Yeah.
I was going to read the podcast. Pete, hold on. Yeah. Okay. Not that I'm going anywhere. We didn't talk about this.
What?
The podcast, P. Did you see George's?
Paul George.
Yeah, so.
He's taking a break from podcasting.
We're not going anywhere, but we didn't talk about this, and I just said I'd have to read it back. With that being said, though, I want to let the podcast P family know that after today's episode with Dwight, I plan to take a break from the pod just to focus on getting my body right, getting mentally right, and help the squad make a push towards our goal to finish the season and give ourselves a chance to be in contention to compete for a championship. I won't front. The desire to get back to shooting in person with my guys as well as the forefront of, you know, this hiatus as well. I look forward to us three being back together and doing this as we once started this, so we'll be back on that note. Be sure to lock in with us because we've got some big things in store for our future. In the meantime, y'all be easy from Podcast P. Just so funny, man. I wanted to start the pod with that, but like we jumped right into
it's
it.
It's great to see Paul George starting to focus on his second job as a basketball player.
In February, when he said that.
Like, dude, you should have said that in August. But hey, man, Podcast P goes down. Hey, Podcast P listeners, you come listen to the Citywide Pod.
Yeah, dude, locking it down over here. All right, well, that will just about do it for us here tonight, everybody. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review or to get a podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Peace.
See ya.